Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We start the season out with ashes at Ash Wednesday. From dust we are, and to dust we shall be. Just as we see those in Nineveh sit in ashes and sackcloth. The historic and biblical reason for this is the ashes remind us that we should be repentant and turn from our sin. Yesterday and today, as part of the Te Deum that we are concluding this night and this evening and afternoon, we are in darkness from the stripping of the altar to just moments ago. Because our sin brings death and eternal darkness as we would be separated from God. This is where we find ourselves. Without God, without Christ, alone and lost forever. But yet something changes. Not of our doing. No, that's why we have all those readings this evening. Because there it is that our God has chosen to walk with his creation, to walk with mankind, each and every one of you. And there it is that he walks with you in your flesh. And he goes to death, where you should have died for your sins. He goes there, bearing the weight of your sins on his shoulders, that there you would find the sting of death gone, as we sing. The sting is lost forever, the hymnist wrote. Because the darkness you sat in, as our gospel lesson today prepares us for tomorrow morning, Christ's body was laid in the tomb, and the stone rolled over it, and darkness was there in death. But unlike us, that darkness of sin and death could not overcome. And tomorrow, as we said a brief glimpse moments ago, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And this is what we see this day. As Joseph takes Jesus from the cross, as we read it again, he takes care of Christ, prepares him in the rituals of one who has died, puts him in a tomb, and there lays him to rest. But as those who had heard him recognize, he said he was going to rise. Oh, but we can't let that happen. We can't let the disciples fraud the people. But see, unbeknownst to them who had been lost in their sin and self-righteousness for years, as we sometimes are, in various ways found ourselves, they could not see that there was no fraud but from their own lips. And so they go to Pilate. I don't know why they like to seek refuge in Pilate. He must look big and strong as the government leader. But it is he who they seek to do the bidding for them, because they don't want to find any wrong in themselves. But Pilate says, you have a guard, you take care of it. So they send a guard to make sure the tomb is sealed real well with a real big stone. And so there it is. It is secure and dark. Christ lays in the earth 3 days, as he promises. See, that stone won't last. That darkness will not stay. And as the sanctuary lit up, as the darkness of the black pyramids removed and the shrouds are gone, it is Christ who is risen. And he promises that as he is the first fruits of the grave, when you die, he will return to raise you from death, that you are the second fruits, united with him in your baptism, as you confessed at your confirmation, and as you will receive in the Lord's Supper his body and his blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, that there you would live in him where you once were shrouded in darkness and death, that you would find yourself dead. Now you will find yourself alive in Christ Jesus, as the Father promised, as was laid out for us in those 12 readings tonight. One of my favorite is that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, the king makes a giant statue of himself. And while we don't see kings or presidents doing as much that way in our day and age, they find their own ways to make such a pomp and circumstance. But see, the king wants them to worship him as if he's a god by worshiping the statue. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, no, we're not going to do that. So they continue to worship God, the creator of the universe. And some people who had it out for him said, look, king, you appointed these three men to serve in your courts, and they're not doing what you say. So the king calls unto himself, and they say, no, we can't do that. He goes, but I don't, you're going to have to be bound and thrown in the fire, don't you understand? Because see, the king liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quite a bit. And they said, no, king, we cannot worship you, for we worship the one and only God. And so, what happens? They're bound up in their clothes and everything. And those soldiers sent to carry them to the fire can't even make it there. They die and they fall into the pit rather than being dropped in into this furnace that the king could see them there. And what happens? Among them walks their God, Jesus pre-incarnate, right there with them, the angel, showing forth the power of God, foreshadowing his death and resurrection, that he would walk with you in the fires of sin and death and the darkness therein, that would burn you up and have you forever. But there, as they would walk from that burning fire, there he frees you from the pits of hell forever. We celebrate this evening this great joy that our Savior is risen, that there where we were dead, now you will live because you are his child, baptized in his name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit upon your head and upon your heart. And there he has set a place for you in his kingdom. And there no fire will ever burn you, no death will ever keep you. Because Christ lives, you shall live too. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.